Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Then skip down, if you would, to verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You see the unity there? It's not a unity of saying we all get along great 100% of the time. We all see eye to eye on everything. It's a unity where we're all in one place. I mean, that means we're in church. See, when you're not in church, you're not going to be on the same page with us, with this group right here. We're all with one accord in one place. We're all filled with the Holy Spirit. That means we don't just live our life filled with the world and everything else and put on church, you know, 3 times a week or every time we read our Bible 15 minutes in the morning. But we're all filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You say, hey, how about filled with this book? Because Jesus said, the words that I say unto you, they are spirit and they are life. How about let the Word of God dwell in you richly with all wisdom? Okay, how about being filled with the Holy Spirit is having the Word of God fill you? It's having the things of God consume your life. And you say, when everybody has the things of God consuming their life, when everybody's filled with the Holy Spirit, when everybody's in one accord in one place, and when everybody, turn your Bible to Acts 4:31, a few pages over, we'll see the result of what it means for everyone to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Here's the result. And they spake the Word of God with boldness. You see, when we're all in one accord, we're all in church, we're all in our place, everybody who God has ordained to be in this church, which is a lot more than are here, people have fallen by the wayside, the devil's attacked them and gotten them out of this church since its inception 8 months ago. And so when everybody's here, when we all get on board, when you're in your place, and you say, I'm not going to dabble in Christianity, I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, that's when you see the power of God, my friend. Not just one man, not just anybody. You say, well, I'm a woman, and the Bible says I can't be a pastor, which it does. You know, the Bible says I can't be the deacon, which it does say that you cannot be the deacon. The Bible says I can't get up and preach a sermon or get up and teach the Bible. Well, what good am I? Hey, look, this was a bunch of women who helped get this thing done in the day of Pentecost. Look, it wasn't just, the Bible says in Christ there's neither male nor female, neither bond nor free, nor Greek, Jew. He said it doesn't matter. He says every single person has the capability to win just as many souls as anybody else. You say, well, I don't know. I'm a woman, I just really want to be the pastor. Hey, look, being a pastor is meaningless. I'm serious. I mean, it means like almost nothing to me, being a pastor. And you say, well, I don't know, this is so important, that title of being a pastor. Hey, that title means nothing. Because I'll tell you something. When you stand before God, if you're a soul winner, and you stand next to some pastor that's not a soul winner, he's going to be like in the back of the line. He's going to be in the back of the bus. Because I'm going to tell you something. No pastor who's a soul winner is worth spitting on. Because I'm going to tell you something. Being a soul winner is the calling of the Christian life. Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost.